Welcome to the party at PartyPoker.net. PartyPoker.net is the best place on the planet for amazing free poker action. You can practice your poker and kick your game up a notch. Plus, it's big time fun. Play against your buddies down the road or take on players around the world and take your shot to win seats to amazing offline tournaments with a chance at huge prizes. No one does great poker action like PartyPoker.net. So what are you waiting for? A straight flush? Sign up today for free at PartyPoker.net.
This is The Poker Show with Chris DeCiro, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Rob Wong, and this is the Father's Day edition. Happy Father's Day, Chris.
Why, thank you very much.
Yeah, and
it's been fun so far. I tell you, my little guy had it. He did it upright this morning, boy. His Father's Day gifts were right on the money. He got me a bunch of good Beatles guitar picks.
Nice.
And Beatles Monopoly.
They have a Monopoly game for pretty much everything, it seems.
Yeah, they do. They do. And the Beatles edition is kind of cool. And we played it, and he trounced me at Monopoly. He's 7.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, is that a game that you've just never been good at?
You know what? It's a game I'm actually really good at. And I tell you the truth, I didn't let up on him.
It's the roll of the dice, man.
Let up on him one little bit.
Well,
and he just whipped me. But, you know, that's the way that it goes sometimes. So, but no, it's been great. And then I was out golfing this afternoon with my wife and my father-in-law. And yeah, life is good. You know, can't complain at all.
No, that's usually how it works on Father's Day. You create some pretty good memories. Any good Father's Day memories that you remember having with your father back in the day?
You know, we used to golf when I was a kid. My dad and I would go golf in the evenings. We lived backing onto the course that I'm a member of now. And we would go out in the evenings, you know, that twilight golf, play 3 holes of golf. Hole number 12, hole number 13, hole number 11, which came right back in a little triangle. And, you know, that was, for me, that was a great way to spend summer times.
Yeah, that's always an awesome thing to get out on the links with your dad any time of the year, even if it's not Father's Day. Now, of course, the last time we spoke, you were at the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas, and you were in the midst of a tournament at the time. How did things work out?
You know, I went fairly far in it. I didn't do as well as I'd like to, you know, for the reasons that we often discuss, the revenue agency. I did not win any money.
No.
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 Yeah, it's you know, it's been a great World Series, and you know, it seems, things just go in cycles down there, and it seems like this has become, again, the year of the pro. Because there's a lot of big names, you know, making charges in fields. Obviously, the biggest story of all is Helmuth winning number 12.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of other names. Yelan Schwartz, who is another November Niner, won his first bracelet. Matt Matros, who, you know, everyone was cheering for Matt to get his bracelet, and he did. And, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of names at the top of the leaderboard. So it's really a good thing.
And it's funny because, you know, I can just tell by listening to your voice. Every time you even mention, like, the World Series of Poker, start talking about it, you sound like a little schoolgirl, just, like, excited, like Justin Bieber just walked into your school or something. Like, you really love this event.
Justin Bieber just walked into your
school.
That was
the best analogy. It came off the top
of
my head. I'm sorry. That's the best one. You're like, you know, a 9-year-old and Wayne Gretzky or Bobby Orr just walked into your school.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
Is that better?
No, listen, you're right. To me, this is the most exciting time of the year. I mean, this is what poker is all about. And, you know, I wish that I was had the skill or the bankroll to be able to roll into the Rio in the last week of May and stay until I got bumped out of the main event, you know, sometime in the middle of July. Unfortunately, I don't have that, but, you know, as you're well aware, I make multiple trips down there during the World Series to play, and I love it, man. There is nothing like the feeling of walking into the Rio, taking your seat card and walking into, you know, the pavilion or the Amazon room and looking at that sea of poker tables and sitting down. And, you know, it's like our friend Norman Chad says over and over and over again, it's just a kid with a dream, because that's what it is. The dream's alive. When you sit down at that table, you're sitting down there with 8 or 9 other players who all believe they're going to win that event. And if there's 3,000 players in that event, 3,000 players believe they're going to win that event. If there's 6,000 players in that event, they all believe they're going to win it. And you know what? More power to everybody, because we all know that dream can come true. You can be the worst poker player in the world. not mentioning any names, Jamie Gold, but you can be the worst poker player in the world, not mentioning any names, Jerry Yang, and still win a World Series of Poker bracelet or the main event. So it is Christmas time, you know, and people spend, you know, I personally think that if I was an online poker player, you know, I would start trying to qualify for the World Series of Poker the day it was over.
Just so you
get next year.
Yeah, just so you could get a shot at it.
Oh, I mean, my goodness, absolutely. Because, you know, people flock in hordes to the poker sites. You know, our sponsor, Party Poker, holds great WSOP qualifiers and satellites to get there. And the excitement, you know, just sitting down at a satellite table to play online to try and qualify to play in the World Series of Poker is an amazing feeling because you believe that you're going to win it, that you're going to get there. It keeps the dream alive. And then you go sit down at a table, and, you know, I remember the first time that I sat down at a table and a big name pro was at my table with me, and I'm like, wow, this is serious stuff. And now, mind you, the big name pro that I first sat down with in an event ever was sort of a cartoon character, was Humberto Brenes.
Right.
But, you know, he was still a recognizable TV professional poker player who I'd seen on TV. And, you know, it didn't really fizz on me. I'd played with Daniel over the years coming up through the Ontario poker scene. But, no, that was a whole different ballgame from sitting down at the Rio at the World Series of Poker with a big name poker pro. So it's something that everybody, if you're a fan of poker, you need to get there. You need to experience it. And even if it's a low buy-in event, even if it's a $1,000 buy-in event or a $1,500 buy-in event, go play. Rob, you go play.
I might have to. And it's funny you touched on that. Just the excitement level and the fact that everybody thinks, you know, they can win. And I don't know if it's, you know, I'm not trying to crush dreams or anything, but I mean, you think of all the things, you know, that people can participate in. But for whatever reason, when it comes to, like, the World Series of Poker, I mean, you know, people really do think that, you know, this is going to be their chance. It's like winning the lottery. Every time somebody buys a ticket on Friday or Saturday or whenever there's a big draw, I mean, everybody, when they walk up to that counter and walk away, they're thinking, this is it. This is going to change my life. And, you know, I kind of love that aspect of something like the World Series of Poker where, you know, dreams can come true. It's really incredible.
That's truly it. And listen, there's a couple of things that are great about the world of poker. One is that, you know, the U.S. Open golf tournament is on today. You cannot go play golf with Tiger Woods. You can't.
No.
Unless you're a multimillionaire who can pay $50,000 to play in a pro-am, you can't play golf with Tiger Woods. But you can play poker with Doyle Brunson or Daniel Negreanu or Phil Hellmuth. All you have to do is get your way into a World Series of Poker event, and they're there. They're playing. You could be sitting at the same table. You know, it's entirely possible. And those are the low buy-in events, too, that these guys play. Not so much Doyle, but the other guys, they're all in there grinding away through the whole World Series. They're there to play. So there's that aspect of it. And listen, let's not kid ourselves. If you're a good poker player, what you're doing is you're increasing the ratio of skill and decreasing the amount of luck. But you can never reduce the luck factor to zero.
Yeah,
so
that's...
no matter how bad of a poker player you are, no matter how poorly you play, Darvin Moon.
That was a great run, though. I was watching that on YouTube like a month ago, just watching that incredible run that he went on. It was super entertaining just seeing the cards that, you know, he would pick up. It's seemingly like every chance he got. It just was incredible.
You know, and that's the beauty of it, is that you can go on a run like that. You don't have to play like Phil Ivey. You know, Phil Ivey can jam all of his chips into the pot with a flop set of aces, and you could have nothing and go runner, runner, see a Phil Ivey.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the game, is that luck factor is still there to give you that little bit of hope. Now, if you had to play Phil Ivey heads up 100 times, probably not liking your chances whatsoever of coming out on the better end of over 100 heads up matches. But in any one given hand, and that's the story. And you know, if you play a table with pros, and over the years now I've played a lot with some big name pros, there's always someone at the table that's willing to jam all their chips in against that pro just to be able to tell a story.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like we just talked about, I mean, it's just the excitement factor and potentially what could happen to yourself. I mean, while you're down there, like even if you don't win, getting the chance to sit down next to these guys that you see on TV, I mean, that pretty much makes the experience for a lot of these guys, and they go home, you know, to their nickel and dime games at home, and they get to tell the guys, you know, the stories about what happened to them, you know, down at the WSOP. We'll touch on it more later in the program with Jessica Wellman, the managing editor, I should say, of WSOP.com. Get her thoughts on everything that has been going on. What has the attendance been like so far? Does it seem like it's been more packed than in years past, Chris, or does it seem about the same at this time of year?
Well, as we speak, the seniors event is going on, you know, so that, believe it or not, is a huge draw. I think they're down to the last 30 or 40, and there are some big-name players still alive in that, but Dennis Phillips being one of them,
right.
And I'm pretty sure Hoyt Corkins is still alive, so some guys who know their way around the poker tables. But the events have been good. You know, the events that I played in had fairly big fields, you know, all up well north of 2,000, so... You know, it seems like everything is running smoothly and the fields are there. I mean, the big test always is going to be the main event. And
yeah.
This year, to a lesser extent, it's going to be interesting to see how many people play in the big one, the one drop $1 million entry fee tournament. Still a little short myself.
I think a lot of us are. We're part of the 99%. It seems like that's the 1% taking part in the one drop. What is horse? You mentioned, you know, people winning bracelets before, and Yolande Schwartz picking up the win in the $1,500 horse event. What is that? I still can't figure out what it is exactly.
Well, there are mixed games of poker. I mean, as people may or may not know, the World Series of Poker is 60 different tournaments. And what you see on TV when you watch the main event most of the time is no limit hold'em. But there are other variations of poker that are played constantly. There is limit hold'em, there is pot limit hold'em, there is Omaha, there is stud, there is Raz, there's deuce to seven triple draw. There are all kinds of different variations of poker that are played. Horse is a mixed game, and you know, the best poker players in the world, they pride themselves on the ability to play all the games. And that's why the horse tournaments tend to be fields that are just stacked with brilliant players. Because to be good at one type of poker is in and of itself an accomplishment. To be able to be good at 5, 6, 7, 8 different games. Horse is Hold'em, Omaha, Raz, stud 8 or better, and 8 or better. So you're playing 5 different games. You have to change your mindset every orbit of the table, because now you come around and you play, you know, 9 hands of no limit hold'em, and now you're going to play Omaha. All of a sudden you got 4 cards in your hand and you're trying to pick out the best hand. And then it goes around again and now you're playing Raz. Now you have to think lowball poker. Instead of the best hand, you need to get the worst hand, you know, which in Raz is ace, deuce, three, four, five. So it's that constant adjustment of your mindsets. You play each game differently. You bet each game differently. You think each game differently. And the Players' Championship traditionally every year has been mixed games because they believe, the big poker players, Chip Reese, the greats of the game, Andy Block, they believe that you have to be good at all the games to be a great poker player.
Yeah, it really seems like it would be some pretty stiff competition playing in that game. And obviously, just the focus that you need to have. You mentioned, you know, constantly having to switch the games up and just, you know, knowing how to play different styles. I mean, I can only imagine, you know, sitting down at a table like that, trying to keep up with these guys. Even if I knew the rules to, you know, every single game there, it'd just be, it'd be so, so hard. I mean, you think about all the events that you could potentially take in or, you know, compete in, and that seems like one of the hardest.
I'm not even going to lie to you. I have played in horse tournaments where it gets late in the day, and I forget what game I'm playing. You know, and there's a like usually little plaques that sit next to the dealer which tell you which game is currently on. But I've played hands. This is the gospel truth. I've played hands playing horse, thinking it was one game, and it was actually another.
That's embarrassing.
Well, it's embarrassing if someone finds out.
Yeah, if somebody finds out.
Yeah
that usually...
I remember this clear as a bell. I actually won a big hand on a river bet because I thought I had the best hand. And in fact, I had an absolutely abysmal hand because we were playing Raz and I thought I was playing a completely different game. But I played it in such a strange way that the guy who eventually folded his hand like it was a big bluff said to me, I couldn't figure out what you were doing there at all.
That's usually the thing. If you don't know what you're doing, and, you know, there's no way the other guy can know what you're doing, right?
Apparently,
but in that case,
I'm better if I have no idea.
But in that case, I mean, that didn't really work there because you thought you were playing one game when you were.
I still won the hand, Rob. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
At the end of the day, I was the one raking the chips.
A win is a win is a win, as they say. That's Chris DeCero. I'm Rob Wong. Lots to come still on The Poker Show, brought to you by PartyPoker.net. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Here's another reason why you should join PartyPoker.net. You can take on all levels of players. Good ones.
I check-raised the donk all in with 5 high and took him off the hand.
And not so good ones.
Whoa, I got a 3-card straight.
At PartyPoker.net, you can practice your poker and improve your game. And take your shot to win seats to amazing offline tournaments with a chance at huge prizes. No one does great poker action like PartyPoker.net. So get the party started. Sign up today for free at PartyPoker.net.
So how many fish are in the river?
Welcome back to The Poker Show with Chris DeCero, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Rob Wong, and we are continuing our coverage of the WSOP. And right now, joining us on the line to help us do that is the managing editor of WSOP.com. It is Jessica Wellman. How are you doing, Jessica?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing good, thanks. How's your WSOP been going so far? How's the experience?
It's a little crazy at the moment. We just hit the final table of the seniors event, which doesn't sound like it's that exciting, but it is a packed house in here, and that event was gigantic, so it's a really fun day to be at the Rio.
Jessica, did Hoyt Corkins, Dennis Phillips, any of the names make it to that final table?
Yes, Hoyt is here, Dennis is here, and Alan Shulman, Barry Shulman's wife, is here. Which is a really cool story because on the same day, about a week ago, Barry and Jeff Shulman both made final tables.
Wow.
So within a week, the husband, the wife, and the son have all made it to the final table of a WSOP event.
Now, I have to ask you this question. Did you get today's numbers? Because you guys were looking at possibly breaking the 3-day attendance record this weekend. Did you get there?
Oh, you're breaking up a little bit. Let me... the final numbers are not quite in yet for the $1,000 event. They will be in about half an hour, but last I heard it was around 2,800 people.
So does that look like that's going to be a new 3-day record?
I would think so. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what the previous record is, but I can certainly look when we get those in and let you know.
Well, what we wanted to talk to you about, Jessica, is your perch. And by the way, congratulations on the new gig. For those that don't know Jessica, she is possibly the biggest rising star in the poker world who is not a poker player. Well, not to say that she doesn't play poker.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
Well, it's true, Jess. I mean, we started getting you on the old Hardcore Poker Show probably 3 years ago, and basically what you did was you sat up late at night and watched guys play online, and you were one of the few people that knew what was going on in the world of online poker. Now, look at you, off to the WPT.
I was thinking about that. You guys were my very first interview as like a poker media member, someone asking if they could interview me. I'm pretty sure you guys were my very first one. So
I know for a fact
come a long way.
And I, you know, I would like to take some pride in the fact that we recognize your talents as a rising star. But listen, you can get on the show the first time based on just being someone in the poker industry, but when you keep coming back, like we kept having you back, and like we'll have you on this show back over and over again, it's based on your merit. And all these back pats and credit aside, you've done a great job. But now you're sitting in a perch with the World Series of Poker, overseeing the greatest poker tournament on the planet. So tell us, Jess, in 56 words or less, what are the biggest stories of this WSOP?
Phil, how it takes care of the two biggest ones. All I need is one word for that, Phil.
Yes, it does.
That's really the craziest story of that day. Was the best day I've ever had as a poker writer. To be able to watch Phil Hellmuth and Phil Ivey heads up for a bracelet at the same time was insane. Andy Block winning a bracelet was a great story. I think Matt Matros doing 3 in 3 years was incredible. And I think this seniors event is not getting nearly enough play for what what it's done to get 4,000 plus players in a single day in the same place playing a poker tournament is pretty ridiculous.
And Jessica, Chris was kind of touching on that when we spoke earlier in the show, that for whatever reason this year, it seems to be the year of the pro, and you mentioned a whole bunch of them already. I mean, why do you think it is this year?
You know, some of it I think is that a lot of our field sizes are a little smaller than we're used to seeing. And a lot of the guys who were kind of those semi-pro would play the summer and maybe kind of keep a job and do poker and some other stuff during the year aren't here anymore. That the people who are playing the slates of 30 and 40 events just have more opportunities to get to the final table. But I also think that people are really hungry this year. You know, when now that people have some limited poker options to be able to come to the WSOP and have limitless poker options for a couple of, 6 weeks, they want to make of it, and I think that they fight every single tournament as hard as they can.
You know, that's a great point. I was talking when I was in Vegas last week, I was talking to Jack Effel in the hallways, because, you know, that's where some of the best conversations happen at the World Series, is out in the hallways. And I was talking to Jack about things that were going on and the numbers and things like that, just sort of a candid conversation. And Jack pointed out something very similar to what you're saying. He said, it's really different this year because guys are taking everything seriously, and even to the point where you have name pros, and he named some name pros, and I won't name the names that he named because that would be unfair to Jack. But he said, you know, you would see this player and that player in the hallway in tears because they busted out of $1,500 buy-in events where they thought they were in good position. It means a lot more to guys. The money means a lot more to guys because the online money just isn't there anymore.
Exactly. And I know a lot of people, I think Eric Seidel was in the live stream booth with us and said he was thinking he might not play the $50,000 event this year because he's playing the one drop for $1 million. And I think if you're looking for one of the more fiscally solvent people in poker, it would be Eric Seidel. And it's just people are getting a little more mindful now that you can't have $1 million in buy-ins every year and keep up the pace that you were at the past 5 or 6 years.
Jessica, Chris and I were also chatting, you know, just about the whole WSOP experience. I mean, you know, you always hear Norm and Chad talking about just a kid and another dream. I mean, obviously, you know, when people bust out, like Chris just mentioned, you know, some people, you know, just break down emotionally because, you know, it is a big thing for them. And, you know, their dreams were crushed. You know, do you get a sense that they're, I mean, just in talking with people, whether it's amateurs or semi-pros or people that are new to the game, I mean, just hearing the optimism that these people have, I mean, is that part of the mystique, I guess, of the WSOP for yourself?
Yeah, just yesterday, Dave Tuchman, who is our live stream host, brought a woman to me who played in her first ever WSOP event. She played the seniors event, and, you know, she got 200-something place, which if you're a pro, you're not, all, you know, you're like, oh, I busted in the money, main cash, lame. And this woman, you could tell it meant the world to her. And to me, I think as much as I love the Phil Ivey and the Phil Hellmuth stories, as any poker fan would, sometimes what we forget about in the WSOP is that it's about these people getting to go and play in an event and say that they cashed in a World Series of Poker tournament. And that's really the bread and butter of why these numbers or these people keep coming out for so many events and in such a large turnout year after year.
Now, Jess, you've, by the way, I just want to backtrack for 1 second, Rob, thank you, because I thought where you were going was you see many people bust out like Chris did. I thought that's what you were saying.
No, I wouldn't throw you under the bus like that, Chris.
Thank you. I had a less than stellar record so far this year in the WSOP, but I'm still a kid with a dream. But what I was going to say is that the way that you're watching it and the way that you're seeing things going on now, everything leads up to the main event in the way that the World Series is designed and structured. Everything ramps up. The buzz comes and it picks up. But I was struck. I was there last week. I was there the first week of the WSOP. I was struck by how electric it was around there early on in the series. You didn't have that sense of guys going, all right, I'm settling in for the grind. Everybody was pumped. There just seemed to be a different vibe this year.
Everybody did seem really motivated. Unfortunately, I had to miss the first couple of days. They had to put me through corporate training, so
well,
I didn't get to be here for
you.
The opening day stuff. Isn't that a bad beat? But I missed some of it. But I think what's interesting is that usually the first day of the World Series, it's the casino employees event, but then there's like a big buy-in, small field event that kicks things off. And this year, instead, like, we had a $1,500 no-limit hold'em event, and so many people just dove right in straight out of the gate, and it wasn't like, oh, I'm playing my first event in a couple of days, I'm coming in late. Everybody was here right at the beginning, ready to go.
Just a couple minutes left here, Jessica, but of course, in a couple of weeks' time, it will be the big one for one drop, of course, the $1 million buy-in. I mean, how excited are you just to see what goes on in that tournament for those 3 days?
It's going to be crazy. Seth Polanski, my boss, has been spending every day kind of working on stuff, putting stuff together. He pointed out to me, I didn't really think about it, just the mere act of moving $1 million over to the casino is a process that, like, nobody just, like, shows up and plunks, like, unzips a duffel bag of cash into the cage, and that's
someone
how it goes.
Will, though. You know,
I feel
will.
Like we should at least stage it for the TV show. Just give them each a duffel bag full of fake money and have them all pour it out. Well, Guy did. When he announced it, Guy La Liberté did that effect. But yeah, it's been a lot of work to get everybody squared away, and Friday was the deadline for everyone to get their $1 million in, and my understanding is all 48 of them are paid up and good to go. We hit the cap, and it's going to be a pretty amazing group of people.
Well, it'll be spectacular, and just before we let you go, Jess, I've got to hang this on you, because now you're working for Seth, and Seth has been a savant in the past few years. We've always asked him for his number, what he believes the main event is going to have. He has been on when nobody thought he was ever going to be close, including last year when no one thought there would be, I mean, most people in the know in the industry were putting the main event numbers at maybe just north of 5,000. Seth hit it within a couple hundred. He said this year it's going to be more than last year. What's your guess?
For this year, I'm going to say, $6,142.
We have it here on record.
All right.
$6,142. I think we'll crack 6,000 again. I think you're seeing some drop-off in the prelim events, but the main event is people find time in their schedule to play. They may not be able to find a month to come to Las Vegas and play, but they will find time for the main event.
Well, we have it on record now, Jess, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, no, this opinion does not reflect that of
entertainment.
It is my solely mine and mine alone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, if you hit that number within 100, Jess, I will buy you one of those big, tall, plastic Las Vegas strip drinks and that hang around your neck, because you'll
all right. I will hold you to that.
And listen, again, you know, all kidding aside, congratulations on your continued success and your new position. You know, you've earned it. Your work has been great over the years. You've worked extremely hard at what you do, and I think the amount of respect that everyone has for you is quite tremendous, even including Daniel Negreanu, who gave you props for buying big girl shoes in an apartment and not ballerina flats.
Hey, and I will take Daniel's approval, whether it's shoes or actually what I do for my job.
There you go. Well, it's great talking to you, Jess, and hopefully we'll catch up with you in person before the series is over.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, guys.
There is Jess Wellman, the managing editor of WSOP.com. And, I mean, Chris, she's great. She is very good at her job and seems to be genuinely having a fantastic time so far at the World Series.
Listen, there are people in this business, you know, who have reputations of being good journalists who really just don't put, you know, a whole lot of time and effort into it, probably including myself. But Jess, since the first day that I ever met her in this business, she is one of the hardest working people you will ever meet. She does her homework on everything. You're never going to catch her unprepared. And, you know, I think Jess Wellman is a name that you're going to hear in this business for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But now she got snapped up in a corporate job, so I'm hoping she doesn't disappear as a corporate show. Doesn't sound like it, but
yeah, we'll see what happens. You can follow her on Twitter, at Jess Wellman. She's got just under 5,000 followers, so let's get her to that milestone as far as followers go on Twitter. Coming up on the final segment of the Poker Show, we'll be joined by a special guest, a man that is always sharply dressed at the poker table. Quite intimidating as well, Chris.
Oh, and a guy who has story after story after story. You have to pay attention when the fish is talking because he's always firing out snappy one-liners.
Yeah, definitely is the case. Chris gave out the hit there. Devilfish Ouellette will join us next here on The Poker Show. Brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Here's another reason why you should join PartyPoker.net. You can play against your buddy down the road.
What? You won again?
And you can take on players around the world.
What's this loss? You are winning again?
At PartyPoker.net, you can practice your poker and improve your game. And take your shot to win seats to amazing offline tournaments with a chance at huge prizes. No one does great poker action like PartyPoker.net. So get the party started. Sign up today for free at PartyPoker.net.
Holy schnitzel, this guy is good.
Welcome back to The Poker Show with Chris Tessiro, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Rob Wong, Chris joining us over the phone, and we're pleased to be joined now on the phone by the one, the only Devilfish, David Ouellette. Thanks for doing this, David. How are things?
Yeah, I'm great, thank you. Everything's cool.
You coming over here to play?
I'm just filling you in on this. I got married in November for the third time, right? And I've already got seven children, so I won't really be looking for any more. But the girl I married has been trying for 9 years to have a kid, and she found herself pregnant. Probably something to do with me as well. Anyway, she actually thought she was about 3 months pregnant.
Wow!
So we went to the place she sent you to send it. Anyway, they measured it, her belly and stuff, and they said you're actually nearly 6 months. So I've been waiting for a visa to come through so she could come with me because, you know, she's desperate to go to Vegas with me. And also I thought, well, they'll stop me partying so much and give me a lot better chance of winning anyway. So I've been hanging on for the visa, and the visa's come, but now she's 6 months, she can't fly anyway. She's actually Asian, so she thought, they said she couldn't fly anyway. I said, no, you can fly, baby, I want some breakfast, but she can't fly. So anyway, so the bottom line is she's got to go for a scan on Wednesday, which means I've got to try and get a flight on Thursday, which will get me there for about 1 o'clock so I can play the 10K Omaha, which is my best event. So basically, as long as the scans are all cool, I'll be in out there on Thursday. But that's why I had to sort of go around the bush to tell you. It's been a bit of a strange situation, you know?
Well, it sounds like it's a good situation for you, and congratulations again on your next and hopefully last wedding. That's more good news for you.
Yeah, definitely.
So
she's married me at the Airless wedding too. She asked me for a watch for her birthday, and I said there's a perfectly good clock on my oven. Anyway, I ended up buying her a fridge for her birthday, and you should have seen the way her face lit up when she opened the door. You got to think about that when you know the light comes on when you open the door. I can't explain them. Go on.
You just keep firing them out, Fish. We'll pick out the ones we like, and everyone else can have the rest.
That's right, buddy.
Have you been following into the WSOP this year? I know your good, close, personal friend and the man you like to poke a little fun at, Mr. Helmuth, did end up winning his 12th bracelet. Did you follow any of that?
You know what? I've got it on my Twitter, and I that's the only reason I knew, because everybody was saying about it. You know, and I got to set my house to the guy. I mean, you know, if I could pick different like attributes on different players, Elmuth would definitely get the first prize in the concentration and the will to win. You know, I mean, he just wants to win every single tournament he enters, and he thinks he should do too. You know, and that's his strong point. He really concentrates. I was saying, watch him. You know, I mean, you know, really concentrates.
That...
I mean, you've only got to get a waitress who walks by me, you know, and that's it.
If you gave him the choice between the bracelet and the money, he would take the bracelet, which is not normal for most poker players.
Well, actually, I don't think... how much was the buying in that tournament?
I think it was a 3K. It was a 3K
wrap. They probably only got many runners, so probably the bracelet's worth as much as the money.
Yeah.
He's kept it in gold pretty good.
But
it's all about the bracelets, obviously. You know, I mean, that's why he wanted to get that bracelet really bad and good luck to the kid. You know, he's a nice kid. A lot of people pull the kid down, but, you know, I mean, he hasn't got a really bad bone in his body. I mean, he's got a problem in his head, but, I mean, you know, off the table, he's a nice guy. I mean, there's a lot of worse players. There's a lot of worse guys out there, I promise you.
Absolutely. Well, if it was up to you and then you had to take the choice between the bracelet and the money, is it an easy decision for you?
I've got another kid on the way. I might have to take the money.
Yeah,
we've got a freedom. You know what I mean? I'd have to be the money, wouldn't it? I mean, the money. You can't eat the bracelet. You know what I mean?
No, you definitely cannot eat the bracelet at Devilfish. I mean, obviously, you know, we talk about the WSOP. Can you take us all the way back to your first experience at the WSOP? And if so, I mean, how memorable was it for you?
Well, I mean, you got to go and read my book, actually. It was the biggest roller coaster ride that probably anybody's had, you know. Well, probably not anybody's had, but it was for me anyway. I mean, I went to the Four Queens and in January, and I managed to win the Omaha tournament there, and then I came out to Vegas in the April, and I can't remember what I brought with me, but I was broke after about 4 days, and I was owing money, and there's a guy called Bob Laws, and he'd only met me at the Four Queens, and what a gentleman this guy was. He lent me $60,000, and he didn't really know me, you know, which is like really cool, you know. And he got it back, which is even cooler. Anyway, in the poker world, that is really cool. Anyway, this guy, I did that money in, and then someone came from England who owed me a couple of grand, and I entered the Pot Limit Hold'em tournament, and everybody says I'm always better when my back's to the wall. And I managed to win that one, and I went on to come on winning about 700,000. So it was quite a big, that was a big payday for a guy from Old, you know what I mean? I mean, you could buy Old for 500,000.
Well, you mentioned your book, Dave, and the book is called Devilfish, The Life and Times of a Poker Legend. It came out maybe, I guess, not quite 2 years ago, around 2 years ago, but it's a tremendous read for anybody who picks it up. I mean, your story is, it reads an awful lot like a Guy Ritchie movie at times.
Yeah, it was a pretty, I used to drive around playing the Pakistanis and the Chinese. I used to go in places where, you know, people weren't even walking, you know, where the sawdust on the floor was last night's furniture. Really rough places. There's a very famous poker player from England who everybody knows, you know, Donoghue O'Day and everybody, and it's called Derek Baxter. And he actually banned me from his game in Birmingham for carrying a gun. I mean, yeah, it's pretty tough times back then. Like, I mean, I know in America everybody carries guns and it's not a big deal, but in England it's quite unusual to have to carry one, but they weren't winning the money I was getting home with it. That was tough, like. And I had a pretty roller coaster life, you know, in and out of trouble and stuff. But yeah, I think the book's pretty funny, right? I made it funny, you know, that's what you want. You want it quick, so everybody likes it, they can't put it down, so that's good, right?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the roller coaster ride, David, and I mean, I'm guessing, I mean, the way that you're talking about it and everything that you put in the book, I imagine you wouldn't have had it any other way.
Oh, no, I mean, back in them days, I mean, my money used to go down faster than the free tenors and everywhere. I mean, I could go for money. I mean, actually, if you get your guys to go on YouTube, yeah, you're getting YouTube over there, right?
Yep, of course.
Well, go on YouTube, and if you put Devilfish the Bet Fam. Devilfish the Bet Fam, and you'll see me saying fire to money. It's quite funny, actually. You've got to watch it. You like it. It's, well, watch it anyway. Devilfish the Bet Fam on YouTube. I promise you're going to laugh.
Well, you mentioned YouTube, and I jokingly referred to Guy Ritchie, but, I mean, your story would make a great movie. Has anyone ever approached you about making a movie of your life?
Yeah, and unfortunately, it cost me a lot of money because I went out to Vegas last year, like 3 weeks early, which is why I didn't mind going out late this year. And if I can go out Thursday and get there for the Omaha, I've got a better chance because, like, last year, the time it came to about this, you know, this time, I was totally burnt out, you know. I mean, I was like a zombie. And it's too long, you know. I'd already done about 6 weeks in Vegas, and I drunk all the vodka there. I've got to send out for more vodka to Vegas. Anyway, I went out to meet the scriptwriter from L.A. So I went out 2 weeks early because this guy from Sweden was actually doing the movie. But unfortunately, this guy who was putting the money in, he decided to do a documentary on the King of Sweden, and it didn't go down very well. So the next thing, he was under house arrest. So basically, the movie's there for the taking again. So if you know anybody, it's out there. Like you said, it would make a good movie.
Who would play you in a movie?
Sorry?
Who would play Devilfish Ulliott in a movie?
It'd have to be somebody really smart and good-looking, I guess.
Beyond the shadow of a doubt. And apparently someone very virile as well, who would be able to match the number of children that you have.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, am I allowed to say it on the radio?
we'll find out. We'll find out if you are or you aren't. We'll have to we'll have to see.
I don't know, but I've actually been asked to to go in a movie in Vegas, which is another reason why I got it out there. A friend of mine, John Lewis, he used to be a world champion cage fighter. You probably obviously you've heard of him or whatever. And he's a nice guy, friend of mine, and he wants me to go in this movie. Like, so apparently there's quite a few well-known poker players, fellow armor from people, but he wants me to do a separate scene. So he wants me to ad-lib in a separate scene. He likes my scenes, you know, I've got a lot of scenes, which are quite, well, I don't know, he likes them anyway.
Absolutely.
He's been around Vegas with me for a while, and I guess he thinks I'm a bit of a nutcase.
Well, you're certainly an entertaining case.
I mean, if I walk across the dance floor in a nightclub in Vegas, and somebody pushes me out the way, guaranteed it's an English guy. It's never American, you know. If they're not kidding, excuse me, sir. It's always an English guy.
Well, it strikes me as maybe Jason Statham, you know, because you do have that tough edge. Nobody's going to mess with the devilfish. Jason Statham is devilfish?
Well, I'd have to get a bit more hair. I'd probably have to wear a wig, I guess. I don't know. I mean, there's a few guys. I mean, there's that guy from Sheffield. What's his name? He's in the Bond movies and all that stuff.
Oh, Daniel Craig.
He's in that, what to call it now, the one about the, what to call it now, where they're riding horses back in the day, you know. Not cowboys, like Romans and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, never mind. But anyway, don't mind. Let's not go into that for about an hour. But anyway, there's a few guys, I guess. I mean, and the good news is, I'm still so good looking, a bit of makeup on. When I get old, I could play myself.
That definitely, you know, could be the case.
When I first went to Vegas, let me get the story right now, I was about 45. I can easily pass for 45 with a bit of makeup on.
Yeah, you definitely could, David. We really appreciate you doing this once again. I love the chat, and good luck at the WSOP this year.
No problem. And remember, all you poker players out there, listen to this. Are you listening?
Yep.
Look after your money, because one day you're a shark and you're eating everybody up, and the next day you're a goldfish in a leaking plastic bag.
Great way to end it. Thanks a lot, David. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
There is David Delafish Ouliot, the one and only Chris.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you a funny story. We had him on the old show once, and did the segment with him, and he's entertaining as always. And we were doing the show live, and we finished our segment with him, and the producer jumped on the phone to thank him for being on. He's like, hey, you know, don't hang up. Is there any way I can listen to the rest of the show? And so the producer said, sure, of course, if you want to listen. And then the next guest on the show was Mike Matizow, who was talking about writing his book and about how rough his life had been and the ultimate bet and losing all his money and how he just sat in the corner and cried and on and on and on. And we were going to actually bring Devilfish back on for the end of the show to talk to Matizow, but what happened was he hung up and the producer phoned him back and said, oh, you know, we thought you were still on the line. He goes, oh, no, listen, and all that talk about crying make me want to shoot myself in the head. I just had to hang the phone up. I mean, grow some balls and be a man. He was so funny. That is who he is. He is a genuine character. And I really think, I mean, if you read his story, I mean, the guy really was like sort of in a lock, stock, and smoking barrels type of London gang, and, you know, did some time in jail, and he's just an amazing story and a very entertaining guy.
Yeah, he definitely has lived his life to the fullest, Devilfish has. You can follow him on Twitter at Devilfish 2011, so I'm guessing that's a recent account that he just created, 2011 being the year, I imagine. You can also follow us on Twitter at Chris DeCero and myself at Wong SN590. If you ever miss an edition of The Poker Show, you can find us on iTunes or check us out on sportsnet590.ca. Talk to you next week, Chris.
All right. Happy Father's Day, Rob. I heard you're on the golf range practicing. I'm assuming that's to try and dial your game back in enough to be able to get back at me in the golf course. So I'm injured right now, so you may actually have a shot.
Yeah, that probably is how I'm going to have to get it done. Going to have to beat Chris DeCero, not at his best, not 100%. I'll have to get you out in the links in the next couple of weeks, I think.
Alrighty.
There's Chris DeCero. I'm Rob Wong. This has been The Poker Show with Chris DeCero, brought to you by PartyPoker.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.